Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Arizona Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support. Good morning, everybody. Hope everyone is doing well this morning. Let's go ahead and get started.
Tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited. Tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited. Tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still. Jesus Christ is still. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. Your house on the rock, build your house on the rock, build your house on the rock, and it shall stand. There's no power on this earth that can stand against God's word. Build your house on the rock, and it shall stand. Build your house on the rock, build your house on the rock, build your house on the rock, and it shall stand. There's no power on this earth that can stand against God's word. Build your house on the rock, and it shall stand. Build your house on the rock, build your house on the rock, build your house on the rock, and it shall stand. There's no power on this earth Let us love one another. The love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. Knoweth God, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another. God, for God is love, so beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve.
Beautiful song. The heart of worship. I'm coming back to the heart of worship because it's all about you, Jesus. Coming back to the truth, the recognition that it is not about me. It has been so much about anything but Jesus. But when you go back to the heart of it, it's all about Jesus. Brother Phil was preaching this morning on John 8, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want to read the verse before that as well, which is 31, John 8:31-32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, that truth that shall make you free is Jesus, him and his ways. And they are completely contrary to what you might think. So when the truth comes, when it's delivered to you, when you seek it out, when you go to your authority in the Lord and you say, how do I do this? How can I do this thing? I don't know what I'm doing. I need help. And they give you the counsel. The counsel, at least in my experience, has often been completely contrary to what I thought. And you kind of sit there going, huh? Oh, geez, I can't do that. I don't know if that doesn't make any sense. That'll never work. It's contrary. It's funny. Being contrary is to be opposed to not be willing to hear. You know, and that truth that shall set you free is his ways. When you are given the counsel of the Lord, step out in faith. Trust him. Just watch him move. You know, this week I had a situation where I was judging a person by their behavior or lack thereof. And in talking to my authority, my husband in this case, he said, what are you expecting? Well, it boiled down to, I was expecting a person to somehow be better than what they are. People. You know, I believe the word is true. And the word says that my heart is evil continuously. Which means mankind's, man's heart is evil continually. Yet somehow I put on others an expectation that somehow there's some good thing in them that's going to make them want to do the right thing. I don't have it within myself, mind you, but somehow I think that there, if someone claims to be a believer, that that means that therefore they will do the right thing. No, that doesn't mean anything. Jesus is the only thing that turns a person and makes them do anything right. He gives us both to will and to do of his pleasure, good pleasure. There's nothing in us that wants that. Now, I believe the word is true, yet somehow, in my own understanding, I expect different. Not of myself, necessarily, but of others. But it was a wonderful thing to go through that experience because my husband brought to my recollection that last week I preached on long-suffering. Love and long-suffering. You know, the truth of the word and the truth, Jesus' ways do testify against us. Every time. Standing praying this morning, I was praying to the Lord and found myself thinking of something else. And another thing. Going down rabbit trails, as my sister likes to call it. Constantly. And when I caught myself, I said, you know, Lord, I apologize. Give me 1 second to not think of you, and boy, I'm down a rabbit hole. The truth of the word, the truth of Jesus, and the things that he brings to the forefront for us and that are, whether it be through counsel or through reading his word, the things that are the truth that will help us to walk forward in him, testify against us every time. We were reading in Luke, right, this week. In our family time, we were reading in Luke. And we were reading about when Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. And yet he still sat down with Judas. He still had him with him and the other disciples. He didn't cast him out knowing what he was and what he was going to do. He didn't cast him out. And I was amazed by that because in my man, oh man, I tell you what, if I knew someone was going to betray me before they get the opportunity, they are out the door, on their butt, gone, goodbye. Don't give them that chance. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus loved perfectly. That testifies against me. The fantastic thing about Jesus' word and his ways is that it brings us to our knees before him, recognizing that I cannot do it. I can't. I'm sorry, I cannot love without Jesus. I can love myself pretty darn well, but I cannot love anybody else more than anyone without Jesus. I can't. And neither can you. You can't. You cannot do any good thing without Jesus. When that truth testifies against you, get on your knees, get in your closet, repent before the Lord. Turn back to him. Because that's what it is designed for. You know, that is what it is designed for. When it testifies against you, praise God. Yet another opportunity to turn back to Him and thank Him for the amazing grace He has had in your life. The amazing grace. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. When it's all about you. This is the other part of that. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. You can put on airs of who you are to anybody, including yourself, mind you. You can believe all sorts of things about yourself. But He looks deeper within. He looks at your heart. Change my heart, oh God. Change my heart, because I can't.
Thing with Jesus and the disciples, Judas included, he knew that Judas was going to betray him. He knew that. He also knew that it was part of his Father's plan. And he was content to lay his life down. And we see him, we read this also this week in the garden, where he says, "Not my will, but your will be done." So his love was yet again towards us and to those disciples that God had given him that he would not lose. And he prays for them, and he prays for all those that would believe on their word, and that's us. And we see God in his love through the sacrifice of his Son, and it's a beautiful thing. So, I'll talk a little bit about some of the stuff that's been going on with me this week. And the Lord is good to let things in our lives to teach us lessons and get our attention. So this week we had we had a power glitch and bad wind and power kicking on and off and on and off. And you know, you come to my house, when the power goes out, all you hear is beeping everywhere because of all the UPSs I've got protecting everything. You know, this is just part of diligence. You know, you have sensitive computer equipment or sensitive electronics. You get a big honking battery backup unit so that when the power kicks off, it doesn't tear your stuff up. I mean, that's what you do. And I have some pretty beefy ones. I mean, they probably go 50, 60 pounds. Well, maybe not. Maybe 40 or 50 pounds a piece on this, my server rack, to keep everything running. And the power's slamming. I mean, it doesn't just cut off and done. It comes on, off, three or four times and then just stays off. And I'm in the middle of trying to get my bills out and everything else. And it was an interesting situation. I had to shut everything down. And so I go and I finish up the last little bit of stuff and I shut things down and back things up, you know, everything that you're supposed to do, shut everything off. And, you know, about a half hour later, power comes back on and I go and turn my server back on and I get nothing. It's not what you want to see on your server screen. It's just no boot drive, no boot device found. That sucks. So I pop the cover and I'm hearing this sound, which is a telltale sound of a drive failure. No problem. Hey, man, I got dual drives. I've got RAID mirrored drives. We unplug one, you know, let the other one go. Boom, we should be back up and running in no time. No boot device found. Well, as I stood there staring at this thing, and I just sort of stood and looked at it like I could. Now, I just stood and looked at this thing, and I tried a few more times and a few more other things. And after a discussion with Charlie, Charlie's leaving the next day. You know, Charlie set the server up for me, and
You know, we had done everything, you know, you're supposed to do, mirror drive, you know, backup, all the stuff that was, you know, supposed to just, you know, bulletproof this kind of situation. And everything we had put in place had failed, unbeknownst to me. Fortunately, it was not tragic. It was terribly inconvenient, and I'm still recovering my accounting files, one record at a time, to recreate them. It's taking a lot longer than I had hoped, but the lesson in this for me is actually a spiritual one, and I want to share that with you guys, because it's so easy to think you've got everything in place. It's so easy to think you have all the boxes checked. But you really don't know until you actually have to rely on it. You know, the scripture that comes to mind are several. The scripture that comes to mind is, and we sang it today, Build Your House on the Rock. And you can go to Matthew 7, and you can read 5, 6, and 7 all really are tied together. You get to the end of 7, and he goes, and he says, you know, the people that hear these words and do them, they're like a man who builds his house upon a rock. When the winds and the rain and the floods come, that they beat upon that house, and it stands. And I'm paraphrasing here. Those that hear these words and don't do them, or like a man who builds his house on the sand, and the wind and the rain and the floods come and beat upon that house, and it's destroyed, and great is the fall thereof. See, both people are going to get the winds and the rains and the floods, and they're both going to have their houses beat upon. But where is your house? Where's the foundation of your house? Is it on Jesus? Because see, if it's on Jesus, when everything stops, you're still going to be standing. If it's not on Jesus, if your faith and trust and belief and hope is not rooted and grounded in Jesus, then it's going to be destroyed. It's going to be destroyed. And it's so easy as Christians or so-called Christians or professing Christians to go to church and, you know, I read my Bible every day. I pray every morning. I attend Bible study all the time. You know, all of those things, that's not Christianity. I mean, what sets you apart from any other religion that reads their holy book and attends their meetings? What is there? I mean, what's the difference? You see, in my computer situation, there are means that I could have tested any one of those fail safes. I could have checked out to make sure they were working. But I just assumed they were. And I didn't really check them. And I wonder how many Christians, or so-called Christians, never actually really check to see if their faith is in the right place. Or when there is a bump in the road and their faith is checked, I wonder how many people recognize that that's what's going on. You see, if I had been paying attention, I would have realized that the server had been acting a little quirky and it had been not as responsive and not doing what it normally is supposed to do. And I ignored all of that. And I just said, oh, I'll just restart it. That'll clean it up. I should have looked a little deeper. I should have looked a little closer as what's going on. And this is not the first time I've suffered a hard drive failure. There, McFly, I mean. But no, I was busy about other things, distracted, walked in assumption that everything was fine. I had all these things in place to shore up and fix. And if that happened, this was okay. And guess what? Every single device I had in place failed. If that doesn't sound like a house getting destroyed with the winds and the rain and the floods, I don't know what does. That's one thing to lose a server. No big deal. You know, it's a server. It's a couple extra weeks of work and hey, no big deal. Lesson learned. Now I know what to look for and I hope to not make that mistake again. Next time I will understand all the things Charlie put in place to make this secure. I will understand how it's supposed to work and I will verify that it's working. Why? Because I don't want to do this again. But what about your walk with God? You see, there are tests you can run on your faith. Did you know that? You know, there are tests you can run on your faith. Phil talked about one. What was it? You remember? You actually mentioned it, I think. If you believe God or if you love God, what are you going to do? You keep his commandments. Amen? You're going to, what's the first two commandments, Sue? And what is it? She said, love God and love one another. And what is it to love God but to put God first? What is it to love one another to put one another first? So when you were struggling this week with that issue you were talking about, why were you struggling? Because you were putting yourself first. Did you know that that is a great diagnostic tool to tell you that you need to go spend some time with the Lord and get that sorted out? That is a simple sign that you need to go repent and get that sorted out. Repent for, Father, please forgive me. I have yet again put myself first. I know it's wrong. Please forgive me, Lord. And then guess what? He's faithful to forgive you. And then you do what? Love them. Love the other. I mean, look, it's a choice. It's not that you're going to feel like loving them when they're being little twits. It's not something that you're going to go. Your flesh is not going to embrace that, but your soul and your spirit surely can, because they can understand that God first loved you. Therefore, you can love others. Because he loved you when you were unlovable. He loved you when you didn't deserve it. He loved you when you were not where you should be and you were doing all the things that were wrong and you were worthless. And in your flesh, you still are worthless. And he continues to love you anyway. So when those things come up, you can remember, wait a minute. I'm going to love that person. I'm not going to hold this against them. I'm not going to allow myself to go down this thought trail. Forget it. That is not love, and I reject and rebuke that. You know, that's just one thing. It's just one thing. You know, I think the greatest telltale sign of your faith. And this is one that's, you know, if you're going to run a litmus test, this is one, right? It's a couple, actually. I'm going to read this one because I don't want to mess it up. Let's see here. I don't want to search. I want to just go. Okay, so we're going to go over to Mark. Mark 16:15, right? We know this one. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a pretty easy commandment, right? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I mean, I don't see any ambiguity there. I don't see any gray area there. Do you? I don't see any sort of, well, this might maybe be the case, or, you know, for the first 50 or 60 years after Jesus, this was pretty much the key. But now we have doctors and medicine, and it was 2,000 years later. This really doesn't apply today. So you see, that's not right. See, what we have this, I should say, people, carnal nature, has this just built-in system of self-justification where when they hear something that they don't agree with or that would cause a change or make them to potentially see the truth that they are wrong, this little mechanism kicks right in and just self-justifies. It's like this auto-correcting mechanism towards wrongness. And it's right out of the pits of hell. You know, Paul says that if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I remember Brother Davey, we were talking about this in a Bible study, and that lust of the flesh is the desire to justify itself. Because if you're in the Spirit, you realize that there is no justification. You're guilty. You're guilty. And when it would seek to justify itself, you know it's rubbish. You know it's not true. You know it's garbage, and you know it's contrary to God, and you know to reject it. And you're not then subject to those passions of your flesh that would draw you away from God. You can't give space to that. So here we see a very simple litmus test. And it goes on in the next couple verses. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. We see the proof and demonstration of this immediately. Did you know that if you preach the gospel, the pure gospel, not a tainted, personalized, some sort of amalgamation of, if anything other than the gospel is not the gospel. Amen. If you preach the gospel, the pure word of God, God will show up. He will. He's going to show up. So here's the thing that you have to ask yourself. If you think you've been preaching the gospel and you think that you have been serving God, and you think all these things, and you've sort of got all these mechanisms and things in place to try and shore up your, I don't know, salvation. I don't know what to call it. But you think you have checked all the boxes, but God doesn't show up? Guess what? You're just living in a fantasy land. You're living in a world of assumption. You're living in a world of presumption. You're not living in faith. You're living a lie. See, God will always show up for faith. He will always show up for humility. He shows up for those things. He does. And if he isn't showing up in your life, it's not ever God's fault. You know whose fault it was my server crashed and I couldn't recover it? Wasn't Charlie's fault. Oh, I'd like to blame Charlie. Charlie, you out there, if you're listening, I really wanted to blame you. It's not your fault. He did everything in that he believed was appropriate. I'm the one. It's my fault. Oh, I'd like to blame the hard drive manufacturer. But I know these things are moving parts spinning at 5,400 RPM. Guess what? They're going to fail. Guys, laws of thermodynamics. You get something moving that fast for long enough, it's going to come apart. When? You know, it's not if it's going to fail, it's when. And I know this. How many times have I told my clients, make sure your stuff's backed up. It's not if your hard drive's going to crash, it's when. Look, there is nobody to blame but me. And when you think you have faith in God and you don't check it out, you don't prove it. And I don't mean prove. I think you guys know what I mean by prove. I mean, you check to make sure it's real. It's working. Verify. You find yourself with a crashed faith and a crashed life. It's only ever going to be your fault. You can't blame anybody but yourself. You have to look yourself square in the face, square in the mirror, and say, it is my fault. You see, if you can come to that place before you stand before Jesus Christ at your death. You see, if you can come to God at that, if you can come to that conclusion right now, that every failure I have in my life is only my fault. It is my, I did it. It was my choice. It wasn't society. It wasn't my parents. It wasn't school. It wasn't anything but me. It was my fault. I'm to blame. God's not to blame. I'm to blame. If you can come to that conclusion and then submit all of this mess to God and say, God, I have broken everything you have ever given me. Please put it back together in something that will glorify you. Do you know that he actually will? He will. And he will take this mess. He will take this disaster that is you in your life. And he will begin to reassemble it into something beautiful that brings glory to him and serves his purpose. That's an amazing God we serve. That's an amazing Lord that we serve. I hope you serve. I hope you want to. I really do. Really, really do. I know I have committed to. And I fail in my service. And I'm not proud of that. I'm not happy with it. Not that I want to be proud of anything. I'm not pleased with it. Not happy about it. But this I know, because he's a good God, if I go to him and I say, Lord, I failed yet again. Please forgive me. He's right there. Right there. Right there. And he can fix it. My little girl brings me stuff to glue. Super glue. Because she's always breaking something. I have a pile of two glue stuff on my desk. Three or four things. It's just one little poof of glue. It's done. As easy it is for me to put a drop of super glue on something and hold to get it for 30 seconds and it be fixed, God fixing our problems is significantly easier for him if we just let him do it. So she could take those pieces that she broke them, and she could hide them and try not let anybody find them or anybody see them. But they stay broken, don't they? They'll stay broken if she does that. And they'll never be fixed. And people may never find them. But they never get fixed. And they always stay broken. But if she brings those things that she broke and comes to me and says, Daddy, I broke this. Can you please glue it? Now, see, my skills are limited. Sometimes I can fix it. Sometimes I can't. But see, God can fix anything. He can fix anything. You bring him something broken, he is the master of fixing broken stuff. And he will take that disaster that is your life. He will take that train wreck that is your existence. And with incredible skill, he will rebuild it. And it will be 1,000,000,000 times better than you could have ever imagined. Because that is the God we serve.
Thank you.
salvation.
Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.